Hello and welcome to my podcast, Jumpstart into Evangelism. My name is Siegfried Tomaszewski and I'm an evangelist. With over 45 years of experience in evangelism, I want to help you to go step by step deeper into evangelism and soul winning. For almost 20 years, I've been working side by side with evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, and we have been involved in all types of evangelism and soul winning, from one-on-one street evangelism to, of course, large-scale campaigns. Now, today's episode speaks about the basics of evangelism, and I would love if you hear and watch what I can share from my own experience. The basics of evangelism, of course, are not going to jump right into the mass crusades, but I want to share some principles. If we talk about evangelism and soul winning, many people look up to the large and great meetings and the wonderful anointed women and men of God, and that's wonderful. But I believe, you know, when we look into the Bible, it's not always only about the big evangelists. It's about soul winning, and we are all called to be soul winners. I spoke about the individual soul winner in my first episode already, and the need to be a seed for Jesus in this world. Today, when we speak about the basics, I want to make you aware of a couple of important facts. Number one, when we speak about principles, it's not methods. You know, wherever I go, people come and say, can you give us a method of how to win people to Jesus? I said, well, I'm not going to speak much about methods because methods always change. There is a different method that we used 20 years ago. There is a different method when I speak in Africa. Then there's a different method than when I speak to old people in a European setting. So all the different methods are being used according to the culture, according to age, according to gender even. So we speak about different methods. Let me share a little story. When I was a youth pastor in South Germany, I started with just a handful of people, and we were eager to share the gospel out in the streets and then invite the people in. So we tried everything. We heard about revival going on in different places of the world. So we invited youth groups from, for instance, Dallas, CFNI, and we said, please come and help us. They came, we went out on the streets, they did some skits and shared the gospel. It was wonderful. Then we invited other people, and then we copied what they have been doing, and we tried to do it the same way. And sometimes it worked, and I was over the moon. I said, well, this is so wonderful to see how that works. And another time, it just failed, and it did not work. And I went to my knees. I said, Lord, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? I did exactly what they did. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, principles are coming from the Bible, and they will never change. But methods, you can have a method, but don't just copy it. If you have a method, allow the Holy Spirit to mold it and to form it according to the situation, the culture, the time, and the people you are speaking to. And this is what we try to do. We try to apply principles of the Bible for evangelism and soul winning. Just a few years back, evangelist Reinhard Bonnke and we as a team, we produced a film series called Full Flame. It's an 8-part series, and we have done that over the period of 2 years. Top people involved, Robert Murphy, a wonderful executive producer who has been actually involved in this whole process of production of the Full Flame film series. But the first part of the film, it's an 8 or 10 minute film. It's called Lost at Sea. In this film, you see a ship drowning and the people are desperate trying to get saved. There is another ship, it's a rescue boat. And that rescue boat has one job, to rescue the people. But inside that boat, there is a church service going on. And the captain, he does not help rescuing the people because he said, who would go out into the sea when there is such a heavy storm? Now, this is just a story, and I would encourage you, watch that film, because it's going to wake you, it's going to shake you. Full Flame film series, part number one, Lost at Sea. Why am I telling that story? Well, there is a purpose for that rescue ship. And there is a purpose for the church. There is a purpose for you and for us. The purpose we are saved is to rescue other people who are drowning in this world. And I really want to encourage you, go out and encourage other people. God has given us hands to help. God has given us feet so we can go. And God has given us a mouth so we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, why should we go out and share the gospel? Number one, I don't believe it's a funny idea or wonderful idea of some great and spiritual women or men. So now we need to go out and share the gospel. No, there's another reason. Number one, because it's God's purpose for all men to be saved. Let me read a scripture here. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. It says, God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants all people to be saved. Do we understand what's written here? God himself has the desire for all people to be saved. Now, in many countries in this world, there is a law. If you are coming to an accident and you see that accident and you just continue driving, you are going to be charged with failure to provide assistance. Now, what's true for the physical and legal terms in this world, I believe it's also true for the spiritual. Now, there is people, they are hurting. There is people, they are dying. There is people, they are lost. And if we pass them by without helping them, without rescuing them, without throwing a lifeline to them, I believe we are kind of failing to provide assistance. You know, I hear many reasons why people tell me, oh, I cannot do that. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not skilled to do that. Or I don't have time. I'm not called to do that. There's people who are called to that. There's so many excuses every time. But let me share another quick story for you to understand why we are called to save. We love to go hiking into the mountains. And one day we have been in Austria with our family, with four kids, and we wanted to go up and climb up that mountain. It was beautiful mountains, but the weather was not so beautiful. So anyway, we decided to go. We walked for a couple of hours, and the higher we climbed, the more cloudy it became. It was moist. The trail was wet and moist and slippery. And suddenly, you know, it was like fog coming down and the clouds were so low. I said, that's going to be too dangerous. We are not going to make it back in time. So let's turn around. So we turned around, but on the right side, there was a slope, hundreds of feet down, very steep slope. On the other side, it went up, and it was just a very narrow trail. So when I turned around and I said, let's go back, my son, he was running and he passed me by. He was running so fast, I got scared. I shouted, Dominic, but before I even finished shouting, he already slipped and he went over the edge and I could not see him anymore. My heart was kind of a shock. And I looked, my wife also was in a shock. She fell actually on her back. So she was sitting there. I said, okay, let me look for my son. What happened? I went to the edge. I looked down. Oh, what a relief. I saw my son just about 5 feet down below on a ledge. That ledge was just about 6 feet wide, and then it went down hundreds of feet. So I immediately knelt down. I reached out. I stretched out my arms to him, and I said, Dominic, take my hand. I'm going to rescue you. So what did he do? Of course, he also reached out and he took my hand. Now, I want to ask you one question. If that would be your child, wouldn't you have done exactly the same thing? I believe yes. Now, why don't we do to others what we would do to our own children? Now, we are all God's children, and God has the desire for everyone to be rescued, and he calls you and us to go and reach out with our hands to the people to rescue them. There is another side of the coin. Yes, Jesus has reached out. We are reaching out. But I understand we also need for the other people to reach out to us and take the hand, and take the hand of Jesus to be rescued. Now, let me give you quickly three reasons here, I believe, that we need to understand as basics. Number one, it is God's own desire for all to be saved. I mentioned that already. Number two, we need to understand what salvation is all about. If we don't understand what salvation means, how can we explain it to others? What are we being saved from? Now, we understand the Adam and Eve when they fell into sin. We know that. But what was actually the situation there? When they fell into sin, their life ended. They were cast out of the paradise, out of Eden. And now suddenly they realized everything had changed. And there was no more connection to the living God without offering, without sacrifice. And throughout the whole Old Testament, we see how people sacrificed, how they brought offerings to God to kind of get close to him. But there was no real salvation in the offering. That is the reason why Jesus came as the Lamb of God, because he was without sin and he died. He took the sin of Adam and Eve and all the other people. He took the sins of you and me to the cross so that we can be reconnected to God, because sin of Adam and Eve disconnected people from God. He's a holy God, and sin separates people from God. So we need to understand that everyone is separated from God through sin. And that's the reason why we need salvation, that we can be reconnected to the living God. Number three, there lies a responsibility on our life. There lies a responsibility on your life and on my life. If we are saved, the obligation is to tell others about it. Now, you say, well, you know, I know all that and I would like to go out, but, you know, I really don't know how to do that. I quickly want to take you from your own level to a different level. Now, we are all limited, we know that. But let me speak about the attributes of God just for one moment, so we know what we can do if God is on our side. Number one, we read the Bible and we know that God is omnipotent. That means he has all the power. God has all the power in the world. He has all the power in the universe. He is almighty. He is an almighty God. Now, we use that term, Almighty God, but do we really understand what that means? Now, let's take a mathematic calculation. If you have some toy or some tool, and you hold that tool in your hand, how much of that tool do you have? Mathematically, it's 100%, unless you cut it. But you cannot cut, you know, a screwdriver. So let's use the term of 100% for God's power. If God is almighty, if God has all the power, he has 100% of the power there is. My question is, how much power is left for the devil? You're right. Nothing. Nothing, because 100% is already all. There is nothing left. I'm amazed sometimes why people are so afraid of the devil, because they think he has power. The devil has no power whatsoever, because God has already all the power. Now, if you go out and you are in front of a dangerous situation and you think, oh, the devil is here and the devil is so strong, I want to tell you the devil is not strong, because there is no power in the devil. All power is in God. Another point is, God is omniscient. Omniscient means that he knows everything. I mean, God has all the wisdom in the world. Now, if you come into a situation and I just said we are limited, there is some kind of barrier here, we need more, then just go a level higher and ask God for his wisdom, because he can provide wisdom. That we read it in the Old Testament, Solomon, he received wisdom from God. And so you and I, we also can receive wisdom from God that is much more than knowledge and skills that we can learn in school or in Bible school or anywhere else. Number three, God is omnipresent. Well, we say, you know, God is spirit and he's everywhere in the universe and everywhere. But let me tell you one thing practically. God is omnipresent. He is here with me right now. And as he is here, he is with you where you are right now. In your office, in your car, in your bedroom, in your kitchen, wherever you are, 24/7, he is present. This is, in a way, fearful, because we say, oh, he sees everything. Yes, he sees everything because he's omnipresent. But for me, it's a great encouragement to know God is always with me. Wherever I go, whatever I do, I know God is present with all his power, with all his wisdom. And the last point, quickly, one of the attributes of God: God is immutable. God is unchangeable. He does not change, and he does not change his mind. If God says, I will be with you all the time, he doesn't change his mind. And tomorrow he says, no, today, sorry, I don't have time. I'm somewhere else busy. God is unchangeable. God who was, he is, he will always be for you and for me. Now, let me quickly give you another mathematical calculation. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We speak about the Trinity of God, three in one. Now, if God is almighty, he has all the power, all the wisdom is present, I ask you, the Son, does he also have all the power? The Holy Spirit, does he also have all the wisdom? Is he also omnipresent? Yes, because they are all the same. It's one and the same God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, if you receive Jesus, he is the Son of God. He's a person. He's not an it like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not it. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity of God. Now, if you receive Jesus as a person, how much of Jesus will come into your life? 50%, 70%, or 100%? If you receive the Holy Spirit, I ask you, how much of the Spirit of God is in you? Is it 50%, 75%, or 100%? There is no percentage with a person. If I visit my relatives, I'm either coming or I'm not coming. If I'm in the house, I'm in the house. I'm not partly in the house. Maybe sometimes with my mind, I'm still somewhere else. But God is God, and the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, the person. When he comes into our lives, he is there 100%. Now, if the Holy Spirit has 100% power as God has, and he is in us, how much power is in you? I ask you again, why are you afraid of the devil? Why are you afraid of people when you're supposed to share the gospel, the love of God? There is nothing to fear if Jesus is here. Now let me continue with one more point. The nature of God. It's also part of the basics of soul winning and evangelism. God is spirit. I mentioned before already, he is omnipresent. So if he's spirit, he is everywhere at the same time. So don't worry about Indonesia and South Africa and Latin America, where wonderful revivals are going on. He is spirit, and what he does in other places, he also can and wants to do in and through your life. Number two, God is eternal. I mentioned already, he does not change. So what God was thousands of years ago, he is also today, because he's eternal. Time has been given by God for us as human beings. So there is a time set, and the psalmist says, my times are in your hand. And that is right. My times are in your hand. But let's not make one big mistake. Let's not take it out of his hand. Whatever he wants to do, leave it to him. Let him do it through you. But if it doesn't work out the way you want it, if it doesn't work out as fast as you want it, don't take it out of his hand. But be patient. Allow him to work in and through you. Number three, God is light. And I believe in this world where there is so much darkness, the light of God wants to shine. But he uses you and me to carry his light into the darkness. Now, if we see dark places, we can criticize it. We can bleed about it. We can mourn about it. We can argue about it. But I think it will not change the darkness. The only thing that changes darkness is if we bring the light to the darkness, and the darkness will flee, as the Bible says. Number four, God is love. God does not speak only about love. God is love. And because he is love, love changes everything in people's lives. Now, you and I, if we have God inside of us, if we have the Holy Spirit in us, that means we have love in us. It's not our love that is limited. It's the unlimited love of God that we can carry to the people who are so desperately in need of love today. Today, I just wanted to share a couple of basics with you about soul winning and evangelism. And I pray that this has helped you a little bit understand soul winning and the basics why we are called to share the gospel. In the next episode, I want to share about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in connection with soul winning and evangelism, so you can jump start right into evangelism. I believe the Holy Spirit and the gifts are really important for us if we want to share the gospel as soul winners. May the Lord bless you richly. And I want to encourage you, share that podcast with your friends. And if they are interested to know more about our ministry, about seminars that we are providing, then ask them to go to the website sigitoma.com. There they will find more information about how we can help you, how we can help the churches to grow. God bless you.